Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's oil report for Saturday, March 16th. Occidental helps Axis test fully electric service rig. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. A fully electric well service rig, the oil and natural gas industry's first, is busy reworking production wells for Occidental Petroleum in the Permian Basin. Quote, "It's exciting to be able to partner with Occidental and get into the field," said Clay Holland, Senior Vice President, Operations at Axis Energy Services. He said it was also exciting for the large number of people who worked on developing the rig. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, Holland said the company had done a ton of testing on its EPIC, that is, Electric-Powered Intervention and Completion Rig, before bringing it to the field. Quote, "Expanding electrification is integral to Oxy's strategy because it contributes to emissions reductions, improves efficiency, creates cost savings, and leverages technology to accelerate our net zero goals," said Bob Barnes, Senior Vice President of Operations at Oxy, in a statement. Continuing the quote, "Of all the advantages of the EPIC rig, we are particularly excited about the different ways it can help us achieve our decarbonization goals," end quote. The rig is designed to operate on battery power or field gas, natural gas, or connection to the public power grid through a transformer. Quote, "The rig itself is designed to run off a certain amount of kilowatts. It doesn't care what those kilowatts are. It's designed to be extremely versatile in the wattage it gets," Holland said. "The ability to connect to the grid and leverage renewable energy sources can reduce emissions and benefit the environment, but more important is the contributions to safety," he said. "The electric power draw works utilizes dynamic braking, which provides intrinsically safer operations," said Holland. "If the operator running the rig should ever become distracted or for some other reason remove his hand from the controls, the rig will automatically stop," he explained. "The rig's built-in programmable logic controller works in conjunction with Axis's core data acquisition and analysis platform to provide precision control and enable automated safeguards that reduce manual actions and potential for human error," he added. Quote, "It has a myriad of safety elements," he said. Holland observed that, quote, "Well servicing is one of the most fragmented industries, and because of that, margins don't allow for innovation. Our partnership with Occidental allowed for that innovation, and we're excited to have a new mousetrap for the market." As the first rig works under contract to Occidental, Axis is building at least two subsequent EPIC rigs, one of which will be a completion rig for frac plug drillouts. Quote, "We will continue to innovate off this rig," said Holland. He said that includes looking at the positives and negatives of moving to battery power only. Quote, "There are a lot of eyes on this project," he said. Apache highlights growth in Permian operations. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. APA Corporation is about to close its acquisition of Callon Petroleum, set for around April 1st. In the interim, APA, the parent company of Apache Corporation, is highlighting its Permian Basin operations and their contributions. Permian Basin production is forecast to eclipse its pre-pandemic levels by the fourth quarter, with the company anticipating approximately 20% growth from the fourth quarter of 2023. The post-pandemic compounded annual growth rate, or CAGR, is significantly higher than pre-COVID levels at roughly half the drilling and completion pace, the company said. Quote, "We have achieved top-tier well results and best-in-class productivity improvements in both the Midland and Delaware basins," said John J. Christman IV, APA's chief executive officer, in announcing updating the Callon acquisition timeline. He said performance has been driven by differential development planning and execution and substantial drilling efficiency gains and a proprietary neural network to identify and simulate hundreds of development scenarios. Well productivity and per well capital efficiency have been helped by wider spacing and larger fracs. Drilled feet per day has increased 34% in the Midland Basin and 24% in the Delaware Basin compared to 2018 to 2020 averages. The company is drilling both 2 and 3 mile laterals with one run curve lateral assemblies. The Callon acquisition will be a strategic and accretive addition to APA's Permian Basin presence, according to the company. Recent Callon performance improvements demonstrated its acreage has more potential than previously thought, and APA will apply Callon's unconventional technical expertise and proprietary workflows to drive further improvements, the company said. Energy services jobs begin slow upward trajectory. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. Oilfield employment remains below pre-COVID levels, but a steady growth trajectory is beginning to appear. The Energy Workforce and Technology Council, citing data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, said oilfield jobs experienced a slight gain in February, adding 1,466 jobs during the month. The organization said energy employment rose 22% compared to January, quote, "as the market continues to steady itself amid global geopolitical conflicts." Continuing the quote, "We are currently around 54,871 jobs away from pre-pandemic numbers. While the job numbers continue to fluctuate, the market's overall performance in 2023 outpaced 2022, Molly Detterman, Energy Workforce President, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, "We expect to see this overall steady growth trajectory continue, although we may not experience a direct trajectory upwards. We are encouraged to see production reach pre-pandemic numbers and see this as an indicator of positive growth for the industry. The return to pre-pandemic job availability has been slow, but is making relatively steady long-term progress," she continued. She wrote the 22% job availability in the energy technology and services sector was estimated by analyzing data published by the BLS and covers the economic activities of energy technology and services companies, which include oil and gas extraction, construction, and manufacturing. "Growth is being seen in manufacturing, engineering, and fabrication," Detterman added. Texas had by far the most oil field services jobs with 317,552, eclipsing second place Louisiana with 54,413 jobs. Oilfield service employment in the major producing states includes Oklahoma with 49,591 jobs, Colorado with 26,457, New Mexico were 24,372, California were 23,851, Pennsylvania were 23,590, North Dakota were 20,267, Wyoming with 15,118, Ohio with 10,818, Alaska with 10,101, and West Virginia with 9,970. Permian's remote oil field monitoring could be vulnerable to hacking. The story was written by Mellon McEwen, oil editor. Companies across the business spectrum, large and small, spend hours and thousands of dollars training their employees to be cybersecurity conscious and be aware of phishing, smishing, malware, and ransomware efforts. But one expert is warning the energy industry's drive toward automation and remote monitoring makes it vulnerable to what he calls industrial cyber attacks. Examples have been seen around the country with municipal water supplies and hospitals being impacted. Quote, "You're in the thick of the Permian Basin, one of the most prolific oil and gas production regions in the world. That makes the Permian a prime candidate for cyber disruptions that could wreck companies, hurt employees, and damage our ability to continue to be the strong and reliable energy supplier to the world that it is," said David Smith, Senior Business Development Manager, OT-ICS Cybersecurity at Red Group. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, Smith noted the growing number of drilling rigs, tank storage level monitors, processing plants, and more throughout the Permian Basin that are operated and monitored remotely. Quote, "If XYZ company can access that equipment, that means hackers can do it also," he warned. As an example, Smith said a hacker could open a tank valve, sending oily water across the highway. That would have consequences for the environment and even the health of those living around the water or working to clean the spill, making it something corporate health, safety, and environment managers should add to their list of concerns. Quote, "If a hacker gets into a device and causes harm to an individual or to the environment, HSE needs to add that to their focus. They need to understand operational technologies and why it needs to be a component of their cybersecurity," end quote. Events triggered by hackers can also impact bottom lines, he noted. A small operator may be hacked by a private equity firm whose investors may include foundations who may be upset by the spill, he said. Quote, "They want to invest in responsible operators, and if there's a spill, that reflects badly on them, and they won't invest in those companies," he explained. A similar situation would arise with publicly held companies, Smith added. Not to denigrate information technology professionals, he said, but they are seldom responsible for assessing the cyber integrity of equipment and devices used in an industrial setting. He added he suspects that will change in the future. Quote, "The solution begins with companies, upstream, midstream, refining, and processing, asking their IT professionals to assess the cyber integrity of their equipment and devices, and go beyond the software," Smith urged. "A comprehensive assessment of each device should include who has access to them, when they've been updated or patched, and establish procedures to address vulnerabilities as needed," he said. Quote, "Because the Permian Basin has such a prominent role in global oil and gas, it needs to be thinking about the industrial aspects of cyber threats," he said. Martin, Midland County's still dominating oil production. The Railroad Commission reported preliminary crude oil production for December 2023 of 110,727,000 barrels, or 3,571,000 barrels per day. The Commission also reported preliminary natural gas production of 847 million MCF, or 27 million NCF per day. Updated December 2022 production was also provided, with the Commission saying Texas produced 134,959,000 barrels, compared to preliminary reported production of 104,363,000 barrels. Updated natural gas production in December 2022 was 981,638,000 MCF, compared to preliminary reported volume of 813,655,000 MCF. The Commission said production came from 162,000 oil wells and 86,000 natural gas wells. Once again, Martin and Midland counties led the top 10 oil counties, and once again, it wasn't even close. Martin County produced 16,553,000 barrels in December 2023, closely followed by Midland County with 16,473,000 barrels. The remainder of the top 10 include Howard County with 7,466,000 barrels, Upton County with 6,873,000 barrels, Karnes County, the only non-Permian Basin county in the top 10, with 5,997,000 barrels, Loving County with 4,650,000 barrels, Reagan County with 4,108,000 barrels, Glasscock County with 3,918,000 barrels, Reeves County with 3,835,000 barrels, and Andrews County with 3,321,000 barrels. The Permian Basin also dominated the top 10 total natural gas producing counties, 7 of the top 10. Reeves County topped the list with 78,245,000 MCF, followed by Midland County with 65,312,000 MCF. The remainder of the top 10 include Webb County with 63,681,000 MCF, Panola County with 52,230,000 MCF, Martin County with 43,699,000 MCF, Harrison County with 38,037,000 MCF, Culberson County with 36,460,000 MCF, Loving County with 34,248,000 MCF, Upton County with 28,318,000 MCF, and Howard County with 26,780,000 MCF. Reeves topped the list of top 10 total condensate producing counties with 6,402,000 barrels. Loving County was second with 3,847,000 barrels. The rest of the top 10 include Culberson County with 3,641,000 barrels, Webb County with 1,204,000 barrels, Karnes County with 1,191,000 barrels, DeWitt County with 1,150,000 barrels, Dimmitt County with 690,000 barrels, Live Oak County with 416,000 barrels, Ward County with 359,000 barrels, and LaSalle County with 299,000 barrels. Texas's energy leadership faces roadblocks. This is commentary written by Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. American energy leadership starts in Texas. This is the undeniable conclusion from the Texas Oil and Gas Association's Annual Energy and Economic Impact Report, which outlines the industry's enormous impact on our state and local economies. Indeed, 2023 was such a blockbuster year that the Texas oil and natural gas industry rewrote the record books for tax revenue, oil production, exports, and refining. On the economic front, the Texas oil and natural gas industry paid a record $26.3 billion in state and local taxes and state royalties in 2023, the highest total in history. This translates to an astonishing $72 million a day that directly funds our public schools, universities, roads, first responders, and other essential services. These funds benefit every single Texan, whether you live in the oil patch or not. For context, the $26.3 billion in Texas oil and natural gas state and local tax revenue exceeded the total general fund revenues of 36 states in fiscal year 2023. Our report also revealed that more than 480,000 Texans have a job in oil and natural gas, earning an average of $124,000 per year, nearly twice the average paid by the rest of Texas's private sector. Texas school districts received $2.8 billion in property taxes from mineral properties producing oil and natural gas, pipelines, and gas utilities. Counties received an additional $885 million in these property taxes. As in years past, public education received a major infusion of funds from oil and natural gas royalties in fiscal year 2023, with Texas's permanent school fund and permanent university fund each receiving $1.8 billion. In addition, our state's Rainy Day Fund and State Highway Fund also each received $3.3 billion. This type of unmatched repeat economic performance does not happen by accident. Success is the result of nonstop industry innovation, investment, and operational efficiencies that shattered a string of oil and natural gas production, supply, refining, and export records last year. Texas hit production records in 6 of 12 months in 2023, producing as much as 5.6 million barrels per day of crude oil in October 2023, more than 42% of the nation's total and the highest monthly oil production total ever. Near record highs in natural gas marketed production occurred in 7 of 12 months in 2023, and in October eclipsed 1.0 trillion cubic feet in a single month for the first time ever, accounting for nearly 30% of U.S. natural gas production. Texas refineries set 2 new processing records in 2023, processing a record 5.6 million barrels of crude oil per day in July 2023, and producing and exporting record amounts of natural gas liquids, or NGLs, in 2023. Texas also broke records for crude oil supply and crude oil and condensate exports last year. These numbers are staggering, and even more impressive is the fact that while the United States is the world's number one producer of oil and natural gas, led by Texas, we also lead the world in emission reductions and environmental progress. Yet, policies coming out of Washington continue to throw roadblocks in the way of world-leading environmental efforts and unmatched responsibility in oil and natural gas development. Delays with permitting and liquefied natural gas export projects approvals, canceled pipeline projects, and slow-playing state primacy for permitting carbon storage wells are incoherent, inconsistent, and ill-conceived regulations that slow and discourage investment, hurt American consumers, and stifle our ability to deliver energy freedom and security around the world. Calls to end oil and natural gas or to delay development are calls for lower quality schools, fewer roads, and lower quality universities, and calls for higher cost for electricity, scarcity of products, and for higher burdens for consumers. We cannot take for granted that this industry can continue to rewrite its record book in the face of policies blatantly designed to undermine progress. The record-breaking performance of the Texas oil and natural gas industry amounts to more than phenomenal statistical achievements. The natural resources, fuels, and essential products produced here are saving lives, shaping communities, growing economies, and restoring stability. This past year's achievements defined Texas oil and natural gas's impact in ways never conceived just a few years ago, and demonstrates that our nation, our economy, and our world are better for what's happening here in the Texas oil patch. With so much uncertainty in the world, the need for reliable, responsibly produced energy from a stable trading partner has never been more crucial. Texas is that trade partner, and at every level, we need policies that ensure that the American energy leadership that starts in Texas stays in Texas.
A free community Easter egg hunt will be hosted by Connection Christian Church on Saturday, March the 30th at the Lions Club Park, 4341 Esmond in Odessa. The event is from 10:30 a.m. to noon, with the hunt itself at 11 a.m. Participating organizations are Connection Christian Church in Odessa, the Ella Noel Art Museum, the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, the Alliance of Therapy Dogs, and the Permian Basin Regional Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse. This Easter egg hunt offers not only candy, but also community. We hope families will feel the strength of the resources in our community surrounding them as they come together to have some fun and feel supported as they raise great kids here in the Permian Basin, said Reverend Dr. Dawn Weeks, co-pastor of Connection Christian Church. Crafts, giveaways, photos with the Easter Bunny, family enrichment activities, time to play with the therapy dogs will be offered in addition to the annual egg hunt. In the local news roundup, man accused of trying to snatch 9-year-old. An Odessa man who was accused of attacking 2 law enforcement officers 2 months apart last year is now accused of trying to snatch a 9-year-old girl out of a car. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman called 911 around 4 p.m. Friday from the 15,000th block of Cumberland Road. When officers arrived, the woman said she was driving south on Cumberland when Lonnie Savage III, 51, walked up to the passenger side of her car and tried to pull the child out of the window while uttering an expletive and saying, "I'm going to kill you," the report stated. The woman threw her vehicle into reverse and backed down the road to get away from Savage, the report stated. Savage was arrested on suspicion of attempted kidnapping and deadly conduct. According to Ector County District Court records, Savage is accused of attacking officers in August 2023 and October 2023. He was released from the Ector County Jail after posting $36,000 in surety bonds after the first incident and after posting $15,000 in the second incident. He is now being held on a $12,500 bond. According to an OPD report, officers were sent to the HEB on West University Boulevard in August 2023 about a disturbance, and when they arrived, they were told Savage was cursing and yelling at employees and customers so much half of the checkout lanes had to be closed due to people being offended. Savage turned and walked away from an OPD corporal despite being told to stop multiple times, and when the corporal caught up with him, Savage was seen on surveillance tape slapping the side of the officer's head and then swinging and hitting him in the face, the report stated. With the help of additional officers, Savage was handcuffed and arrested on suspicion of assault on a peace officer, which is a second-degree felony, evading arrest, and disorderly conduct, vulgar language. According to an OPD report from 2 months later, an off-duty Midland police officer was at his home at East 21st Street and Custer Avenue when he heard a disturbance outside. The Midland officer told officers he went outside in his police uniform and identified himself to Savage in an attempt to keep the peace, and Savage began to yell at him and punched him, the report stated. Savage was arrested on suspicion of assault on a public servant. Dad accused in knife attack. A 60-year-old Odessa man accused of threatening his daughter and her boyfriend with a knife in February was arrested last week on warrants that were issued in connection with the incident. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Kenneth Landreth's daughter, age 25, and her boyfriend, 29, called 911 around 7 p.m. February the 26th from the 1,000th block of South Lauderdale Avenue. When officers arrived, the couple told them Landreth was preparing dinner when he began arguing with his daughter, and when the younger man confronted him, Landreth grabbed a kitchen knife and chased him out of the house with it, the report stated. The daughter said once her boyfriend was gone, her father tried to strike her with a knife, the report stated. She initially thought she'd successfully dodged the knife, but later found a small puncture wound on her abdomen, the report stated. Officers found a small incision on her abdomen that was bleeding and started to swell. Warrants for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon were issued because Landreth was gone when police officers arrived. When officers took Landreth into custody on East 6th Street on March the 13th, he had 2.9 grams of methamphetamine and a homemade pipe with crack cocaine residue inside of it, the report stated. As a result, he was also arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. He remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $35,000. Odessa Lynx announces results of point-in-time homeless count. Odessa Lynx, the lead agency for the Odessa Homeless Coalition, on Monday announced the results of the 2024 point-in-time homeless count, which took place on January the 25th. The PIT count, mandated by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in conjunction with the Texas Homeless Network, serves as a crucial tool in understanding and addressing homelessness in the community, a news release said. This year's count revealed a combined total of 135 individuals experiencing homelessness, with 48 individuals sheltered and 87 individuals unsheltered. These numbers reflect the collaborative efforts of the Odessa Homeless Coalition, along with the support of various community partners and volunteers. The Odessa Homeless Coalition, including organizations such as Catholic Charities, Jesus House, Odessa Salvation Army, Crisis Center of West Texas VA Health Care System, and Family Promise, worked tirelessly leading up to the count to ensure that all shelters and services providers were prepared, the release said. Thanks to the generosity of the community, essential items such as bags, hand warmers, copies of the Street Survival Guide, bus passes, and snacks were distributed to those in need, while information about the survey was disseminated at key locations. Americans on Medicare get new 2024 Flex spending card. Why don't more Americans on Medicare know about this Flex spending card? Here's the deal. Millions of Medicare recipients are now eligible to get a Flex card with an annual spending limit, yet many not know it exists. Medicare Advantage plans are helping eligible Americans get the benefits they deserve and can be used for medical visits, prescription drugs, dental, vision, and hearing. How do I see if I am eligible? This new online service is helping people on Medicare secure their benefits. It's completely free with no obligation to check if you are eligible and takes just minutes, so it's definitely worth your time. Simply select your age below to find out what benefits are available in your area. Step one is to select your age, under 65, 65 to 80, and over 80. And then we answer a few short questions, about 60 seconds, to see if you are eligible. I chose 65 to 80. The first question is, are you currently a U.S. resident or citizen? Yes or no? Next page says to check if you qualify, simply answer a few questions on the next page. Are you currently enrolled in both Medicare Parts A and B? And then you check yes or no or skip. Or call 833-389-1725. I'll repeat that. 833-389-1725. Or TTY711 to speak with a licensed insurance agent. The office is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This day in history, today is Wednesday, March 20th, and on this day in 1996, a jury in Los Angeles convicted Eric and Lyle Menendez of first-degree murder in the shotgun slayings of their wealthy parents. They were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And on this date in 1413, England's King Henry IV died. He was succeeded by Henry V. In 1815, Napoleon Bonaparte returned to Paris after escaping his exile on Elba, beginning his 100 Days rule. In 1852, Harriet Beecher Stowe's influential novel about slavery, Uncle Tom's Cabin, was first published in book form after being serialized. In 1854, the Republican Party of the United States was founded by slavery opponents at a schoolhouse in Ripon, Wisconsin. In 1922, the decommissioned USS Jupiter, converted into the first U.S. naval aircraft carrier, was recommissioned as the USS Langley. In 1952, the U.S. Senate ratified, 66-10, a security treaty with Japan. In 1969, John Lennon married Yoko Ono in Gibraltar. In 1976, kidnapped newspaper heiress Patricia Hearst was convicted of armed robbery for her part in a San Francisco bank holdup carried out by the Symbionese Liberation Army. Hearst was sentenced to 7 years in prison. She was released after serving 22 months and was pardoned in 2001 by President Bill Clinton. In 1995 in Tokyo, 12 people were killed. More than 5,500 others sickened when packages containing the deadly chemical sarin was leaked on 5 separate subway trains among Shikariko cult members. In 2013, making his first visit to Israel since taking office, President Barack Obama affirmed Israel's sovereign right to defend itself from any threat and vowed to prevent Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons. In 2014, President Barack Obama ordered economic sanctions against nearly two dozen members of Russian President Vladimir Putin's inner circle and a major bank that provided them support, raising the stakes in an east-west showdown over Ukraine. Odessa College to host Wellness Fair on March the 22nd at the OC Sports Center from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And that's all the information they have posted.
Chevron donates $10,000 to student project to enhance crisis center of West Texas, March 12, 2024, by Mike Aldex. The Crisis Center of West Texas, CCWTX, will soon receive new indoor and exterior murals, renovated playroom and therapy/conference rooms, and also new baby care bags for mothers seeking refuge at the center, courtesy of a student project that inspired a $10,000 donation from Chevron. On February 22nd, Chevron Representative Stephanie Alvarez, who serves on the CCWTX Board of Directors, and Jonathan Harshman presented the check to Lori Dunham, Executive Director of the nonprofit. The project was the brainchild of Legacy High School students who participate in the Abel Hanger Foundation's Students in Philanthropy SIP program. The student team worked with the Crisis Center to identify and develop the improvement projects. Our goal is to spread awareness on domestic and sexual abuse by providing the victims with a safe, comfortable, and loving space to take refuge, the student team said. The project is scheduled to be implemented this spring with help from Chevron volunteers. I am so excited by what the aspiring philanthropists at Legacy High have imagined for the CCWTX's exterior and interior updates, said Alvarez. Survivors deserve a comfortable and uplifting environment as they work to move on with their lives. This is truly an excellent example of what collaboration can achieve. Located at 910 South Grant Avenue, the Crisis Center of West Texas is a one-stop shop providing wraparound support for victims of sexual and domestic violence, including a 24/7 hour hotline, emergency shelter, counseling, legal advocacy, case management, and prevention education, among other services. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the Recording Library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream. Rockhounds debut Midlands Amigos in 2024, March 12, 2024, by staff report. The Rockhounds are introducing their fans to the new Midland Amigos. It's the new identity and image for the franchise's participation in Minor League Baseball's Copa de la Diversión program, which aims to expand the outreach of baseball to the Hispanic community. The Rockhounds joined the Copa program in 2019. The Midland Amigos replaces the team's previous nickname, Metamosca de Medesa. When we found that no other minor league club was using Amigos as its Copa identity, we jumped at the opportunity, said Rockhounds OVG Hospitality GM Jeff Von Hall. Not only does Amigos translate to friends in English, it's really a universal term and conveys the message on its own, he said. The Midland Amigos logo, designed by Midland-based Flower Mound, features an image of Rocky Rockhound wearing a stylish sombrero and is done in Sugar Skull art. According to the team, from the logo to the color scheme, Torch again did a great job in every element, Von Hall said. And utilizing Rocky in Sugar Skull art is not only outstanding artwork, it's also very appropriate for the Copa theme. Copa de la Diversión was initiated by Minor League Baseball, beginning with four clubs in 2017. The program quickly expanded to 33 teams in 2018 and to 72, including the Rockhounds/Metamoscas de Medesa. In 2019. Today, more than 90 MILB clubs take part in the program. The Rockhound/Amigos will host six Copa de la Diversión nights during the 2024 season. 2024 Copa de la Diversión nights, Friday, April 26th, Amigos scarves, Saturday, April 27th, post-game fireworks, Thursday, May 30th, Thirsty Thursday, Tuesday, June 4th, Amigos Player Posters, Friday, July 26th, Rocky Lowrider Bobbleheads, Friday, August 23rd, Three Amigos T-shirts. Find this story in audio for blind and low vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the recording library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud for March 15, 2024. Hobbs native Brett Perez excels in the oil field, March 15, 2024, by Mike Aldex. Hobbs native Brett Perez was languishing at a dead-end job when she essentially woke up one morning and proclaimed, "I can do that." By that, she meant working out in the oil field. Perez knew a couple of people who took classes in lease pumping at New Mexico Junior College. They went to enjoy fruitful careers in the industry, she said, so she signed up for the intensive two-week course before finding herself on a similar career trajectory. Today, Perez is both a NMJC alumna and a lease pumper for Chevron's Mid-Continent business unit, working near her hometown. Perez recently spoke about her experience in a video interview with her former college. She's among a growing number of women across the oil fields who are stepping up to help provide ever affordable, cleaner energy to her community, nation, and the world. Her advice to aspiring female colleagues is to put your all into it. Even if you're a woman going into a male-dominated industry, you're going to have to show up every single day, day in, day out, Perez said. In the end, the experience has been just incredible, she added. I couldn't be more thankful for the NMJC class and Chevron for taking a chance on me. Find this story in audio for blind and low-vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the recording library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream. This is Christy, and I'll be reading Permian Proud for March 15, 2024. Hobbs native Brett Perez excels in the oil field, March 15, 2024, by Mike Aldex. Hobbs native Brett Perez was languishing at a dead-end job when she essentially woke up one morning and proclaimed, "I can do that." By that, she meant working out in the oil field. Perez knew a couple of people who took classes in lease pumping at New Mexico Junior College. They went to enjoy fruitful careers in the industry, she said, so she signed up for the intensive two-week course before finding herself on a similar career trajectory. Today, Perez is both a NMJC alumna and a lease pumper for Chevron's Mid-Continent business unit, working near her hometown. Perez recently spoke about her experience in a video interview with her former college. She's among a growing number of women across the oil fields who are stepping up to help provide ever affordable, cleaner energy to her community, nation, and the world. Her advice to aspiring female colleagues is to put your all into it. Even if you're a woman going into a male-dominated industry, you're going to have to show up every single day, day in, day out, Perez said. In the end, the experience has been just incredible, she added. I couldn't be more thankful for the NMJC class and Chevron for taking a chance on me. Find this story in audio for blind and low-vision adults, 2 p.m. daily, on the recording library of West Texas radio station, www.recordinglibrary.org, live stream.
Crypto investment fraud tops the FBI crime list. The FBI is out with its annual Internet Crime Report, and cryptocurrency investment fraud is the big winner. For the crooks, that is. It has put investment scams on top of the online fraud list. In fact, people got bilked so badly in crypto scams last year, to the tune of $3.94 billion, that such losses exceeded business email compromises for the first time since the FBI began keeping track of online crime in the early 2010s. In a crypto investment scam, a fraudster pursues a victim to purchase cryptocurrency with the promise of big earnings. Then, poof, in a typical business email compromise, a crook posing as a business associate or boss persuades a dupe to transfer money to their account. Investment scams first dethroned BECs as the top internet fraud type in 2022, accounting for $3.3 billion in losses versus $2.7 billion for BECs. Last year, investment scam losses clocked in at $4.5 billion, with BECs at $2.9 billion. Third in overall losses last year was tech support scams at $924 million, followed by personal data breaches at $744 million. Gold prices shine. Gold prices keep hitting records as its luster draws in investors who are betting that U.S. interest rates will soon ease. Gold has been gaining ground steadily since late in 2023 and is up more than 5% so far this year. Gold future prices breached $2,100 per ounce this month and have been setting records on an almost daily basis. Lower interest rates would likely result in bonds paying less interest, which means investors lose out on less income by owning gold instead. Wall Street is betting that the Federal Reserve will start cutting its benchmark interest rate in June. The precious metal acts as a hedge against economic downturns. The World Bank expects global economic growth to slow this year to 2.4% from 2.6% in 2023. While we see potential for a pullback in gold in the near term, this does not mean the rally can't go further over the coming year, says Solita Marcelli, Chief Investment Officer for the Americas at UBS Global Wealth Management, in a note to investors. Worries about global political tensions will also support gold prices this year, Marcelli added. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an ex-medical/surgical nurse. I have a daughter-in-law who was treated for depression with magnetic therapy. My psychiatric exposure in the 1950s was with electroshock therapy and insulin shock therapy. Can you explain how the new magnetic therapy works for depression compared with the other two treatments? P.S. Is electroshock therapy still being used? Dr. Roach answers, electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, is still used for treatment of drug-resistant severe depression. However, despite decades of use, the exact mechanism of how it works is not understood. ECT does increase neurotransmitters like dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine, as do some medications. A newer theory is that ECT increases the ability of the body to respond to brain atrophy that is often caused by long-standing depression. I have hardly ever seen it used. Of nearly a million people treated for depression in a 2014 study, only 0.25% were treated with ECT. Still, I have seen remarkable success with this treatment, which works far faster than medication. Meanwhile, insulin shock therapy was first tried in the 1930s, but was discredited and abandoned in the 1960s. Transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, is a new treatment that has been shown to be relatively safe. The major serious side effect is seizures, although these are uncommon. It may also cause headache and temporary hearing loss. Unfortunately, I can't tell you exactly how TMS works either. The strong magnetic field of the TMS machine, very similar to an MRI machine, rapidly alternates, generating electrical currents in the brain, both on the surface of the brain and the deep brain in some cases. TMS is in some ways similar to ECT. TMS and ECT are appropriate to consider if medications are ineffective or can't be used, and when psychotherapy, the other mainstay of depression treatment, can't be assessed. Unfortunately, this is a common problem. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Readers may write to him at P.O. Box 523, 323-6475. In Orlando, Florida, 323-6475. Dear Abby, I recently started planning my wedding. Half the friends I want as bridesmaids are very conservative. They think sex is sacred and should be talked about only discreetly, not joked about, mentioned on TV, etc. I used to hold similar views, but I no longer do. Neither do the other half of the girls I want as bridesmaids. My dream bachelorette party is the kind you see in movies, a group of girls going out on the town, getting tipsy, maybe being a little stupid, nothing dangerous, with sexy games or favors and casually swapping sex tips and double entendres. I pick up on others' feelings easily, so I can't ignore when someone around me is unhappy. I want all my girlfriends to enjoy the party, but two or three of them won't appreciate the humor of drinking from a phallus-shaped straw. Should I split the good list and have one prudish party and one sexy one? Dear Abby responds, "That's an excellent idea, and we all know which one you are going to enjoy." And another Dear Abby, "I just found out my husband has been texting with his high school sweetheart for the last 3 years. He contacted her and shares all day-to-day activities, like our vacations, a new dog, etc. She lives 2,500 miles away. She's divorced, retired like us, and has children and grandchildren. I snooped and read his email. I can tell by her responses that she is being polite. I don't understand why he contacted her after so many years and why he shares everything with her, as we have a close relationship and share everything. He did mention a year ago that he was in touch with her. I didn't think much about it then, but now that I know how long this has been going on, I'm wondering why. Should I be concerned about this?" Dear Abby responds, "What is happening could be innocent or it could be crossing a line. You will never know until you discuss this with your husband. You may not have to disclose that you read the text if you say you recalled him mentioning that they were in touch a while back and let the conversation evolve from there. Dear Abby, I recently received an invite to a surrogate baby shower. I was happy to attend. Each guest was asked to bring a box of diapers, our favorite children's book, and a donation to help cover the surrogate expenses. A written explanation of how expensive the surrogate process is was also included. In my opinion, when the couple started the surrogacy process, they were aware of how expensive it would be, and to ask the shower attendees to contribute to it is a little nervy. Was this proper etiquette?" Dear Abby answers, "No. Soliciting the donation was over the top. I can't help but wonder how many invitees declined the invitation because of it. To ask for money was tacky." And you can write to Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.